I bet you did, Rothman. I bet you did. This is Carpenter and Rothman.
All right, welcome back. Anthony Rothman, Bobby Carpenter, Matty Ice. We welcome to the program the senior analyst at Pro Football Focus, Pro Football Focus College Edition as well, Steve Palazzolo. Steve, good to have you. Hope you're well.
Yeah, thanks. Hope you guys are also staying safe over there.
All right, Steve, let's get to it. We're all, social distancing, and we have the technology, so we're using it to our advantage right now. So it's great to have you. So, all right, so the big piece lands. Brady goes to Tampa, and I'll get maybe your first opinion on that. Do you believe that that was the leader all the way, or do you think that something tipped it for him?
No, I think I can't imagine that they were the leader, so to speak. It sounds like the market wasn't great for Brady. I think people are just a little wary of him being 43. If this was 3 or 4 years ago, I can only imagine what that market really would have looked like. But I think he just went out, investigated all the situations. It got pared down. It came down, I think, to the Bucs and the Chargers, like everybody had reported. And he looked at the situation and said, this is the one. You know, this is a good situation here, given the playmakers. And I'm assuming a lot had to go in with the head coach relationship with Bruce Arians, just because think about Brady and Belichick and how they've worked together for the last 20 years had to be a huge factor. And I think that's just what it ended up coming down to for Brady.
So, Steve, talk about those weapons and how they rank kind of amongst the NFL with what Tampa Bay can provide him, you know, with the wide receiver, tight end, running back position. But then also, you know, you talked about Brady's play, and if it was 5 years ago, maybe it'd be a little different. I mean, when you watch the film and you're watching Tom Brady, have you seen the significant drop-off that, you know, some people expect or think was there, or was that simply more due to the inability of receivers in New England to get separation?
Yeah, well, starting with Brady, I think there's been a slight drop-off. I think if you looked at his last few years, right, from 2014 to 17, by PFF grades and just watching him play, I think that's one of the best stretches of quarterback play in NFL history, between what he did throw for throw, what he did in the playoffs, all of that stuff. 2018, he took a little bit of a step back, and they still won a Super Bowl, still showed that he could make the big plays down the stretch. Last year, he took another slight step back, I'd say. You know, he missed a few more throws than he should have, but, man, the supporting cast was brutal. So I don't think he was nearly as bad as the numbers showed last year. So now you go to Tampa Bay, Mike Evans on the outside, Chris Godwin on the outside and in the slot. Both of those guys, we've only seen five other instances where wide receivers graded at 85-plus, pairings of receivers, and they're one of them, Evans and Godwin. If they do get aggressive and, you know, try to steal a Julian Edelman for a draft pick from the Pats or something like that, I mean, it could be a very explosive offense between those guys, plus the two tight ends, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate. I think Brady has plenty of weapons to work with, and he showed that he can distribute the ball to all sorts of positions. So I think it'll be a good fit.
Steve Palazzolo, senior analyst, Pro Football Focus, with us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. All right, so the interesting part now is you can't imagine the Patriots are going to just sit here and go into complete rebuild mode, right? But they're going to have to find something, whether it's in the draft or a veteran or something to bring in. I can't imagine they start the season with Stidham, but maybe they do. What's your take?
I keep going back and forth on this because I think on one hand, Belichick is never a guy that would, you know, I don't think he wants to lose at all. But he's also the one guy that's had the long-term view, just has been consistent building for the long-term compared to every other evaluator in the NFL. So Belichick, I wouldn't put it past him to the whole, not complete tank job, but looking to the future for a Trevor Lawrence or a Justin Fields a year from now. I do think ultimately he's still going to try to win games, pick up an Andy Dalton in a trade if they can get him for the right price. So I think they'll try to do that, you know, go with the veteran bridge quarterback and then see where the way the draft falls. But man, that roster just doesn't look good, and that's happened at times throughout the Patriots regime, but Tom Brady's been able to save lesser rosters, and they don't have that anymore. It could be ugly, I think, in New England.
So you've got Andy Dalton, who is available by trade. You've got Cam Newton, who's available by trade, and then Jameis Winston, who is now available as a free agent. Of those three guys, would you kind of rank them and what you think they could provide a team and where they are at in their careers right now with like their ability to come in and start and win games?
Yeah, I think my order is going to be the inverse of what I think Belichick would want. So my order would be Jameis first, because as uncomfortable as it is to watch him turn the ball over, he adds more value than most quarterbacks in the NFL just because of his aggressiveness down the field. And, you know, he'll move the ball. He'll turn it over as well, but he can move the chains. I think Newton is a similar style quarterback, but he also relies on that rushing ability, which I think if you're going to keep him healthy for the rest of his career, you have to cut back on that. He's a similar volatile type of quarterback as Jameis as far as being aggressive and being able to flip the field with big throws. And I think Dalton is probably the safest option and the one that can take care of the ball the best that I think Belichick might like. But I just think Dalton really needs that perfect supporting cast around him like he had in 2015 when he had A.J. Green and Marvin Jones and Sanu and Eifert and all those guys. He could put up big seasons, but, man, the Patriots don't have any of that. So I don't think Dalton would have a ton of success up there in New England.
No, it's such a flip now with Brady going down there. And it's, you know, you start looking at some of these spots, and Cam Newton is the mystery, right? He's the guy that has the experience. He has the feel of playing in the biggest game in the world, yet he's such a wild card with his health. And how do you think the league – I mean, I thought instantly, you know, Chicago and the Chargers would be like, okay, well, if – but it really just depends on the price, right? And I don't even know what the – and nobody knows, Steve, what the right price is for Cam right now.
Yeah, the price thing is an issue. He's already making over $20 million, and if you trade for him, you inherit the contract. If you wait for him to get released, he might be asking for $25 or $30, right? I mean, it is a tricky situation. I think the fact that you can't do physicals right now is the biggest piece. And then teams like the Chargers that you mentioned. I mean, the Chargers can't roll into the season with Tyrod Taylor. They have to beat the Chiefs. And they're building a defense that can at least slow down the Chiefs, adding Chris Harris and having guys that can cover back there. They need a guy. They need that gunslinger type that can go head-to-head in a shootout, whether it's a Jameis or a Cam Newton. I don't know if you're going to find it in the draft. So I think the Chargers should be in the mix for a Cam Newton or a Jameis Winston. But, yeah, the whole league's on – you know, just slowing down, I think, on Cam just because of the injury concerns.
Steve Palazzolo, senior analyst for Pro Football Focus here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. And, you know, one of the biggest free agent names, or at least the expectation that he was going to be one of the biggest names and probably early signings, was Jadeveon Clowney. I believe it to this point, unless it's broke here in the last 15 minutes, that he's still without a home. You know, why, Steve, do you think there's been a slow market for him that really hasn't materialized as quickly as he probably anticipated?
Yeah, it's one of those I keep going back and forth on it, too, because I thought he would, you know, break the bank and all that stuff. But then, you know, NFL teams love looking at sack totals. And one of my favorite things that we do at PFF is say, don't look at the sack totals. You know, that only makes up, you know, 2% of this guy's plays. Look at pressures and how many times he wins one-on-one and all this fun stuff, right? And Clowney's sack totals last year, he had three and a half, whatever it was, by the NFL. I don't know if that's scaring teams a little bit. Ultimately, though, he's an excellent run defender. I mean, he just destroys blocks. He is great in that department, and he's a good, not great pass rusher. And good, not great pass rushers put up 8-9 sacks if you give them, you know, 400 or 500 pass rushes. That's what he is. So I don't know if teams are looking at that and saying, we want the quote-unquote 10-sack guy, and that's never been Jadeveon Clowney. And from that perspective, you know, they're right. I mean, I wouldn't change the market and give him ridiculous money because he really isn't a game changer as a pass rusher. He's just a very good all-around player. But I think for the big money, you truly want that Khalil Mack type of game changer. And I think that might be what's giving, you know, teams a little bit of pause.
Is Clowney, Steve, also a little bit in the category of Cam in that you can't give him a physical right now? You can't. I'm not saying that he has the same kind of injury, but I know he played through that core muscle injury during the second half of the season. He missed a few games. So a two-part question. Do you think that's affecting the market for him? And also, if the market is dipping for him, does Seattle say, well, wait a minute, now we may want to re-sign him?
Yeah, I think anytime there's an injury question now, I think you have to expect that is a factor in teams committing to these players. And yeah, I think, you know, the smart teams in free agency, you know, New England has done this really well through the years, and a lot of teams that are slow playing things right now, they sit and they wait and they don't throw the huge contracts out because sometimes the market isn't there for a Clowney and you swoop in and you get them for, you know, a perceived bargain. So, yeah, I think Seattle's, you know, in that mix. I think, you know, other teams that maybe weren't expected to break the bank for Clowney might be in that mix and say, look, we can get a solid, very good player at a more reasonable price than we expected. And, you know, the best teams generally do that. They don't overpay when they don't have to.
So, Steve, looking around, there's been a lot of movement. We'll exclude the Tom Brady from this question because that's obviously the biggest splashy signing. But excluding Tom Brady, with all the signings and then also the vast amount of trades that have occurred in the last couple of days as well. Is there one that you think was a home run maybe more than any of the rest?
I mean, I think the obvious one's DeAndre Hopkins going to the Cardinals. I don't want to, you know, beat that one up more than everyone else has, but Hopkins is still a legit wide receiver. He's one of the best receivers in the NFL. The Cardinals got him as a steal. The under-the-radar one that I really liked was the 49ers trading DeForest Buckner for a first-round pick, and I think just from a big-picture, great way of doing business standpoint, the 49ers drafted Buckner a few years ago, seventh overall. They got four great years out of him and then traded him for the 13th overall pick at a point where they probably weren't going to be able to pay him. They have other guys that they need to pay and more valuable positions to potentially pick up. So I think the 49ers, for a team that just went to the Super Bowl, now having two first-round picks, I thought it was a brilliant team-building move. And I love DeForest Buckner. He's a fantastic player, but I think it was still the right move before he was worth over $20 million a year.
Steve Palazzolo with us on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. I'm going to throw you a curveball because I know you can do that yourself because you were a master at it.
I had a terrible curveball though. That's why.
Really? Okay. Well,
yeah,
then
fastball splitter only for me.
Well, listen, your curveball is better than most people listening, so we'll go with that. Because I know you're a baseball guy. So would you like to see baseball do a if they could do a post All-Star like 81 game season, and that would be absolutely ideal in your mind right now?
Yeah, I mean, I want as much baseball as possible. I think we all want as much sport as possible, right? As we come out of this, I think 1981 they did that, right? They had two split seasons, that they had a strike and all that fun stuff, and they figured it out. So yeah, condense as much baseball as you can and just go from there. I think I think everybody's going to – hopefully sports really bounce back huge just because everybody's having withdrawal right now. We all get through this as a nation, as a world, and then, I'd take that 81-game schedule for sure.
Well done. Steve Palazzolo, follow him on Twitter, @PFF_Steve. He's the senior analyst at Pro Football Focus. Have a good one, bud. We'll keep you on speed dial with all this NFL news. Thanks very much.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep, Steve was on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. When we come back, Buckeye Bulletin time. We'll bring you up to date on the DJ Carton situation at Ohio State, plus a guy that won a lot at Ohio State. I mean, won championships and was a defensive MVP in a Fiesta Bowl. He's got a new address in the NFL. We'll tell you about him next. Carpenter and Rothman on The Fan.
The first and the best. Your home for all things Buckeyes, Jackets, and former linebackers making inappropriate innuendo. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.